chapter 3, we have seen has called us to a living hope. And this call to a living hope, we know that we're going to live eternally in Christ, but we also want to have this call to be holy, which includes that we all are a priesthood. The priesthood of believers, we're all called to be holy priesthood and all that serving. And that mindset is that we're sojourners or exiles. We're all immigrants, if you will. We're just moving along this face of the earth. I think one of our songs had that in there, like we're traveling from this earth to our heavenly home. And then we look at this call to submit. I'm using my thumb today. Submit to civil authority, submit to earthly masters, submit to husbands, and wives submitting to husbands, but likewise husbands loving their wives with understanding, treating them as the weaker vessel and as joint heirs of life. And we unpacked that last week. But just to sum up, guys, husbands and wives are responsible before God to bear the responsibilities of their own role in marriage well. So husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, to be understanding, not to be harsh with them. And wives are to submit to the headship of the husband and be respectful. But they are not responsible to police their spouse's role. So it's not me saying, okay, Bonnie, you've got to be a little more submissive now. And she's got to tell me, it would help if you love me a little more. But anyway, submission in the face of evil. That's where we are today. A strange little title, but you'll see evil is used several times in these four verses. And let's ask afresh that God would use his word to speak to us personally. Lord, I thank you for your words are truth and they don't change. They last forever and ever. But Holy Spirit, we just don't want to listen to a little talk. We want to listen to what the word is saying to us, to our situation, to our life. And so come. Open our eyes and ears to see and hear what we need to. For Christ's sake, for his glory, his honor, Hosanna. That's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, first I'd like to talk about this word, submission psychology. The first verse is going to try to give us a mindset. If we have this mindset, this psychology, or we could use the word worldview. If we have this in our head, then we can approach how to deal with evil that we face. Because believe it or not, people throughout this earth find that they are untreated fairly by civil authority. Maybe we're not treated fairly at the workplace. And some of us in our homes say, yeah, our marriages, I'm not being treated respectfully. I'm not being treated lovingly. So what do you do? Well, first of all, let's grab hold of verse 8. If you've got the bulletin handout, there should be the whole scriptures there. The verses 8 and 9, what we'll look at first. Finally, all of you. I like the New American Standard Bible, so they're using the word finally. It says, to sum it all up. Okay, finally. Now, we've just talked about this whole thing about submission. I want all of you. And that means all of you believers to whom Peter is writing. So that means all of us, whether we're citizens or slave to the Roman Empire, whether we are slaves or freemen within the economic system, or whether we're married or not, husbands or wives. But all of us, listen up, okay? Finally, all of you, boom, have unity of mind. Now that unity doesn't mean we have to have unanimity, have the same type of thinking. And last week at the AGM, we had a lot really honest discussion. What is the best way to go forward? Is it with four elders or more? And that was good stuff. We had differences of opinion, and we decided as a congregation that we would stick with four for right now. But we had differences of opinion. That's fine. In your marriage, when you make decisions in the home, you'll have different decisions, and then you have to come down, you have to make a decision. Some leadership has to be given. But this unity of mind that we're speaking of here is not that we sing in unison. Actually, that doesn't sound as good as what? If we sing in harmony, right? So if we all sing the same part, But when you have the harmonies working there, it's really beautiful. And so this is what we're looking at. What is that unity? Well, we've already been shown in 1 Peter. Get your head around it, guys. We are one. Called by God. We belong to Him. To be holy to Him. Everything we do in life matters. We don't live for ourselves any longer. I don't go to school. I don't go to this particular place of employment. I don't go to this place to live. I don't do this particular recreation. I do it all. Why? Because I love God and I get involved. This morning I was riding with my two friends on the bus, and I see these old football players I used to play football with, and I miss them a lot. Well, I'm 66. I can't play football like they do. And I'm not going to get up at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday and go play football till 9 o'clock and then rush to church. I can't do that. But I still pray for them. I miss them. I love them. But God has shown me now, James, you got a different recreation. What is it? Well, no, but it's not football. So I have to change. I think I'm going to become involved in doing different things. What I'm getting at is God has called us to be holy in all of our life, whether it's our sport, our work, whatever it might be, it's for holiness. It's living life with God. This unity of mind that Peter is saying, hey, look, guys, you are sojourners. The world is not your home. And it is going to get tough. And so keep in mind your calling. You're serving God right now on this earth, and you're trying to glorify Him in every way you can, within the home, within the workplace, school, wherever. But you're headed somewhere to the place where you are a citizen, where you are a daughter or son of the living God. So this is the unity of mind we are to have. Another thing about the mindset is, in a humble mind, the song about the rose being, you know, stepped on, all that. It's got that one, that last phrase, you know, but above it all, you thought of me above it all, something like that. Well, he thought, it's not of me, you know, personally, you know, it's like, man, I was the greatest guy. No. We're singing it collectively, right? For all of us as believers. He thought of us. And one verse that hit me this past week in a discipleship group that I was memorizing was 2 Timothy 1:9. And it said, for God has saved us and called us to be a holy living, not because of anything good we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And that grace, which is in Jesus Christ, was given to us before the beginning of time. I look around and I think, you know, most of the people here already know Jesus. Then you're believers. I might be missing one or two, but for my, I think you know Jesus, all right? Well, look at the guys next to you. Look at them. Take a look at them. Pretty good looking people, right? You're a good looking guy, too. I don't know your name, but you are. What I'm getting at, if you're in Christ, he had this thing before this creation of the world. The world didn't just come to being, no. There was a God who's king of all kings and all that we sang about. And above it all, He thought of me before He created this thing. He had a plan of grace. Now, this is not just in 2 Timothy 1:9. You can find it repeated in Ephesians, Colossians, and Titus. This whole thing that God had a plan to show His grace before He created the world. He didn't say, I'm going to take James, you know, I'm going to save James so he can become this potentially great preacher of DBICC. Or I'm going to save you so you can do... No. While I was still a sinner, He saved me. Not for the potential enemy. And so what I'm trying to get at, guys, how can we ever elevate ourselves over one another? The humble mindset. everyone out here, we're on equal playing field. Before this earth was created, God had us in His purpose, in His plan. He's used different ways. Yes, we have responsibility. We have to repent and believe and choose to follow Him. And then we have the honor to make that gospel known to other people who are just like us. So this humble mind, this is kind of, if you're going to talk about what to deal with evil that you're going to face, you've got to keep this unity of mind, who we are as the people of God, called out holy ones, and this humbleness. Why? How did it? Above it all, you thought of me? It's very humble. Now let's look at some of the empathetic words here, if you want to call it the feeling words. So this submission psychology, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart. Brotherly love is this Philadelphia thing, you know, we get that word Philadelphia from. But it's usually a term which you use in family. You know, you really love your family, and this tender heart, that's an interesting word. I think those of us in English, we just can't say have a tender gut. You know, but that's basically what it's saying, have a tender gut. Have a soft stomach. That's what it's saying. But what does it mean? You're compassionate. You feel with others when they hurt. So I have a good friend. I don't see Ben's family here, but Ben Lau is a pastor of another evangelical free church on Hong Kong side. And he and I were going to get together for coffee this week, and he said, no, I can't come, James, I'm in the ICU. I've got a friend who's had a heart attack. And the man dies. He's 52 years old, a leader in the church there. And just, you know. And I can identify, my dad died that way in my arms when I was 15 with a massive coronary. And so I hear the news, it's right here, you know. You've lost a good friend unexpectedly, and this family that's involved has lost a father and a husband. You're the same. I've seen how you react to each other. You love one another. We're family. Yesterday with my friend Panda and Randy and a few others, it was what we call in Chinese Po Kong Dong, right? You know, it's you get this. You're family. Yeah, it breaks my heart. My boys aren't following Jesus, but these people are. Oh, it feels good. It's family. So finally, all of you at DVICC, all of you who are in Christ, have unity of mind, this sympathy, this brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. I have one more slide on a tender heart, which says, be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we're not perfect now. And we give each other calls where forgiveness is needed to be asked for and needs to be extended. That's that tender-heartedness bit. And we do that by the grace of God. Okay, next verse. This is the first one. We've got three instructions on how to deal with evil. How do we submit in the face of evil? Well, first of all, do not repay evil with evil. We'll see that. So it begins verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Did you revile anybody this week, Evelyn? Not that you know. Okay. Reviling is not a word in my vocabulary, but for it means insult. Okay, insult someone. So if someone insults me, your feet stink, well, so does your breath. You know, that kind of stuff. You don't return insult for insult. Let's see. I got a slide thing there. Aristotle, a very famous Greek philosopher, right? He said, men regard it as their right to return evil for evil. And if they cannot, they feel they have lost their liberty. How many of you have more than one child? Have you ever seen them exchange evil for evil? Can you imagine the little kids there building this Lego castle? And he says, you know, what's wrong with my Lego castle? Oh, I need my Lego car over there. So I get this Lego car castle. Anyway, gets the car and takes it from the other sibling. And the other sibling says, what? That's my car. And then he knocks down the guy's castle. And then mom comes in, what's going on here? Well, he started it. He took my car. No, he just, you know. So it's returning evil for evil. I think I got a good slide on this one. Yeah. Oh, that would hurt, wouldn't it? So you knock on me, I knock on you. And I can remember as a young parent having to calm down my youngest son, who would think that's the best way to get his point across sometimes with a little punch. But don't repay evil for evil. But why? What are we going to come up here? This is an insult for insult. If you were my husband, I'd poison your coffee. If you were my wife, I'd drink it. So that's that insult for insult kind of thing. So we don't. Why is Peter bringing this kind of stuff up? Because it's our natural reaction is to want to repay evil with evil. I watched a movie last night. The guy want to go get the guys who killed his wife and daughter. I can identify with that. And then when he catches the guy, he decides, I'm not going to put a bullet in his head. I'm going to turn him over to the law enforcement and go through the system. So, that's a strange example, but what I'm trying to say is, it's natural for us to want to return evil for evil. You push me when I get on the bus, I'll push you right back. Don't do that. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may be a blessing. Now hold on. I'm supposed to bless this guy when he does this evil stuff? How does that work out exactly? Well, in the words of Jesus, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Then again, I think there's another verse here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a story about World War II, some Marines, by the way, were in their barracks, and there was this one Christian guy, and he liked to read the Bible at night and then go to bed, but the other guys liked to go out and drink and come back drunk, and they'd make fun of him and say, there's a little goody two-shoes. That's what he said. And they took their boot and throw it at the guy. And they took another boot and threw it at the guy and hit him in the head and knocked his Bible out. And they just, oh man, that's so funny, right? And they go to sleep. The next morning they wake up and the guy discovers that his muddy boots that he had thrown at the other soldier had been cleaned, polished, and set at the end of his bed. Because of that, some men in that barracks became Christians because of the way this man responded to people who made fun of him. I try to think of personal stories that I have. I don't have any personal ones. But I do know I prayed for a lot of people who misused me, who have done bad things to me. Not in the Christian world, but in outside the Christian world. Anyway, first of all, don't return evil for evil. Secondly, do not speak evil. So it's the first natural tendency, when something goes wrong, I'm going to hit right back. Right? No, don't do that. Don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. But now, the next thing we need to be reminded is we're going to say something bad. I look at all you guys, all some of you are sitting as couples next to each other. I can't imagine you slapping your wife. It's time for confession after the service. I don't know. But I can't imagine you doing that. I can identify with every one of you who have said stupid things to your wives. Because I've done a lot of that, one or two of those. Because we fight with our mouth, we fight with our words. You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. But listen to what's going on. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, I certainly want to love life and see good days, right? I don't want to, you know, it's a happy day. You know, I want it to be a happy day. Don't worry, be happy, kind of whistling, go lucky kind of thing. You know, I like good days. I like it when it's like that. And sometimes, I think I ran into my neighbor yesterday, and he was so happy, and he's enjoying this weather, and it's refreshing, not being too humid and not being too hot and everything. And he was so happy, a Chinese fellow. And he said, oh, you can't help but enjoy the day. That's right. You know? Only trouble, I was all inside all day long doing stuff. But he had been out for a walk and had a great day. Well, whoever desires to love life and see good days. Anybody? Raise your hand. You want that? You want that? Okay, the rest of you guys want no life. That is. Okay. But what we want is to love life and see good days. Okay. Yeah, man, help me advance this one. Let him, it could be, you know, not just the masculine here, let that person keep their tongue from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Bad things. Keep your tongue from evil and lips from speaking deceit. And maybe we don't talk that way, evil talk between each other as couples, but we might talk evil or put down other people. And so we have to be careful about that and make sure our lips are not speaking deceit. I was with a friend yesterday at this same gathering at my friend's house in Taiwan. And as I looked across the table, this guy named Paul was sitting there, and I can remember, about 25 years ago, we made a movie of Paul's testimony. Great, great testimony. He comes to Hong Kong at age 11 or 12 by himself. On a boat, the boat crashes, he has to swim, and he survives. He lives with an uncle. He can't stand his uncle. His uncle's wife didn't like him. And anyway, he ended up living in the squatter huts, a salmon pink, by himself. And Brother Panda was very close to him and helped him have a place to live and shared a house, which we call the House of Love. Home of Love. Anyway, this Paul comes to faith and everything, and he's got a master's in electrical engineering, a degree in Bible, and God has used him to spread the gospel. Just a great soul. And to make a long story short, though, I was yesterday tempted to say, hey, you remember the guy who made the movie about your thing? Let me tell you what happened to that couple. It's not a good story. It's like the Holy Spirit said, you don't need to tell Paul that story at all, James. Zip. I haven't even talked to Bonnie about that. She knows where I'm coming from. She said, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't say a word about that. So it's easy. We can be kind of evil and deceitful in our speech, even in a gathering with a Christian. Here's some good ones. Okay, keep calm and bite your tongue. I'm going to print this one out and put it on our refrigerator. Okay. Another one. That's all right. That one's got a good tongue. But you can see they really bit their tongue there, right? Okay, next one. Proverbs 21:23. Some good verses here. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So the movie I watched last night, the guy said he talked too much, so he quit talking. Just listen. I thought, that's an interesting response. What if I just quit talking for a week? It is Lent. I could just not talk for a week, see what happens, and just listen more. It might be good. But anyway, you will keep your soul from troubles if you guard your mouth and your tongue. Next one. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Wow. That's from the book of James 1:26. And another one. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Yeah. So So this evil can come, repaying evil for evil, punch back. It also can come from my words. But here's a guy who learned how to control his mouth. So Matt finally learns to control his tongue, and he tells his tongue, sit. Okay, just like you tell your dog. I wish my tongue would work like a dog. But, sit. Okay, all right, so much for the joke. So two things. Don't return evil for evil, and don't speak evil. But thirdly, turn away from evil and do good. Now, what are we saying here? Verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Okay? I'm not going to repay evil for evil, and I'm not going to speak evil, so now I'm going to do what? I'm going to let him seek peace and pursue it. Let's see, I think that the next one. Oh, yeah. Dilbert, I don't know Dilbert's dog's name, but Dilbert says, I believe in karma. That means I can do bad things to people all day long, and I assume they deserve it. I mean, he deserves it. I'm not going to cooperate with this guy. But no. So in Christ, we seek peace and pursue it. So if someone has a problem with us in the workplace, we try to go towards conflict resolution. Same within the church family, same within our immediate extended family or whatever. We try to work towards resolution to be peacemakers. But much more so in the world, we're seeing that the peacemaking that comes through the gospel. There's only one thing that can save China. There's only one thing that can save the United States. There's only one thing that can save Discovery Bay. One thing that can save you and I, and it's actually a person named Jesus Christ. How to be friends with God. How to even know this God who created the world before he created it had a mind to save us through the grace of Christ. So seek peace and pursue it. We are to be peacemakers. So our job, submission in the face of evil, just a review. I think it consists of three. Do not return evil for evil. Do not speak evil. And then turn from away from evil and do good. So we just don't succumb to returning evil for evil, but we do something good, and that's we're seeking peace and all that looks at in many shapes. What's God's job in all this? Well, 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. I've been making prayers for Hong Kong. I don't really know how to pray about all this money we got. Most of us are indifferent. But let's leave Discovery Bay and go look at the big city of Hong Kong, where most of the millions of people can't afford that, $7.8 million for a 329 square foot flat. Yet the government sits on this whole big pile of cash. The population is aging. People like me. What are we going to do about all these old guys? God's taking care of me through you and through different Christian organizations. But the normal Hong Kong person doesn't have that. Yeah, so the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So we pray against social injustices. We pray against sex trafficking. Trafficking of human beings to put them into the sex industry. And it occurs in this city and in Macau. It's here. The Lord hears us. His eyes are open to our prayers. He hears your prayers about what I would call unfair industrial practices. And I won't mention any names, but it will hit home to many of you. Again, again, ladies, if you're professionals, you should be making the same amount of money as the male counterparts. There should not be discrimination in the workplace. Those kind of things, I talk to Jesus about, I pray about it. And he may give you ideas on what to do regarding that particular industry. His ears are open to their prayer. Those of you who are in tough family situations where the husband doesn't seem to love you or care about you, the Lord hears your prayers. So he's listening to us. And our righteousness does not come from anything that we've done. Our righteousness is through faith alone in the finished work of Christ. He alone did everything completely right. But our righteousness comes through faith in him. That goodness, obedience, everything he did is mine. And all my unrighteousness was taken care of on the cross. He died for that. So Jesus, God listens to us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so don't be discouraged. Those who are doing evil, whether it's in the civil authorities or in the workplace or even in the homes, God will take care of it. He's against it. But don't misunderstand me. We're not to sit back and not say anything. We're not to accept domestic abuse as, well, God will take care of it. No, no. We're to make that known. And please, if any of you have this type of situation where you're being on the receiving end of some real evil, and you don't know what to do, please come talk to me or the elders, and we'll sit down and we'll try to think through and pray with you how you should respond, particularly if it involves any domestic abuse. That doesn't fly. Not for any community of faith in Christ. Okay. What's that? Yeah. Hard questions. Who is evil in your life? How are you responding to such evil? And what evil do you need to turn from? Are you trying to get even? Trying to do smack them or say something that's not right. You need to turn away from that. You know what? What's the Lord telling you? And finally, how can you bless them? Look at Jesus and then we'll stop. Okay, Jesus. Yeah. Who was evil in Jesus' life? Well, it was Roman soldiers and all those other guys, right? But there was one disciple who sold him down the drain. All of them denied him. When they needed him, they were over in the shadows. A few women, including his mother, were there to watch him be crucified. A lot of people was evil in Jesus' life. Including me. How did he respond to such evil? He chose to go to the cross. He chose to be beaten, spit upon, ridiculed, and nailed to the tree. For me. For all. And what evil did Jesus turn from? There was no evil that he did, right? He was tempted. And he said, no. I don't need all this stuff. I've come here to do one thing, and that was to save humanity from evil. And then finally, who did this Jesus bless? And yeah, that's you, and that's me. Remember, he already told them, Peter's already said, look, follow in the steps of Jesus. Well, you can't think about submission if you don't understand what Jesus has done. Okay, Jesus is in the Godhead. It's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he submits to the will of God the Father to incarnate, to come to this planet who's in dire rebellion, who does not want God. I don't need God. He comes to this planet and goes to the cross to set us free, to make in us a people who do want God. We want to love him and follow him. He blesses us through his life and death, resurrection, ascension, and then his coming again. Let's pray. Father, Saturday morning, I can still hear Ambrose Kwok saying his principal was from the Anglican background, and she was telling him, Ambrose, everything, the mysteries of God are found in Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Lord, that impressed my heart. And as I preached the sermon today about how to submit in the face of evil, we stand up against evil in the sense that we seek you to reform, to do good things within society, to do good things in the workplace, to heal our homes. But at the same time, we know, Lord, that you are such an almighty God who humbled himself and submitted to death on a cross. For you know the joy that was set before you, that it would set us free from self and set us free from control of sin and to live for you and to be a part of your kingdom forever and ever. What a story. And so, Lord, may we have this mindset among us, a unity of mind, to have compassion, sympathy toward one another, to be really have this brotherly love, tender hearts, humble mind. We thank you. You can work this in us as a people of God, Discovery Bay, and not only will we experience it here and as a community of faith, but people who come in contact with us in the workplace and our neighbors in DB will say, yeah, God has touched this people. Just like that soldier who cleaned the boots. So we thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.